Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care this week, a good topic as we head into the Thanksgiving week. And Samantha Shuk is here, the Housing and Community Health Director with the George Washington Regional Commission. Samantha, great to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Boy, with the cold weather, a good reminder that the cold weather shelter is back, and it's being operated a little bit differently this year. It's back for the last few years. It's what been in hotels around the area.
Yeah. So our cold weather shelter has been operating without any flaws over the last couple of years, even during the pandemic. But we utilize a building from the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board, which is not used at night. And so that partnership meant that we were able to have people indoors during the cold season, but it means that it's really tight quarters. So COVID, we did have the cold weather shelter in hotels to help with social distancing and try to cut down on some spread of COVID. But this year, we are back in that building. And so we have been open. I think we opened a few days early. We usually open around November 15th. They opened, I think, the 12th last Monday. And they've been open every day since. So they are operating on a weather-based operation this year. So they look at the weather every day and make a determination of whether or not it's going to drop below freezing.
Okay.
And whether or not they'll open the cold weather shelter. So they're sending out mass communication every morning to say whether or not the cold weather shelter is open that day. So since they've started, it's been so cold that they've been opening every day. They do pick up from the afternoon dinner, which the dinner list is on the MICA website. So that changes every day. But they do pick up from the dinner and then bus everyone to the cold weather shelter. They're able to have a warm space to be, and then they drop them off at breakfast in the morning.
Boy, with this cold weather, we all complain about it, but if you're having to live in it, This has been really rough, and so much earlier than it usually is.
Much earlier, and I think this is the time where homeless services in particular gets the most afraid. We do everything we can to build rapport with folks probably throughout the year for this moment, where it matters the most that people may freeze to death, that their reluctance for services or their wish to remain in their spot outside can actually put them at risk of hypothermia and all sorts of things. So we are taking extra precautions this time of year to make sure that everyone who's outside can come indoors.
You've told us some fascinating stories of working with people and trying to get them to come in. And it's not always so easy. Even when it's cold, a lot of times we've talked about this, that the people are really resistant. We might not understand it, but they just don't want any help and don't want to come inside.
I think it's a small handful of folks, but it does definitely happen. And it's the ones that we probably think about the most when we are the coldest. But I think you're right. I think there are always people who, make a life for themselves outside. And by coming indoors, even temporarily, they're leaving their entire site behind and everything that they own. They can't take everything that they have with them sometimes. Either the shelter won't allow it, or it's too much to carry, or they've been out for too long, or whatever it is. So it's hard. You're not just coming inside to stay warm, but they think more about all the things that they're leaving behind. So it does take lots of talented case managers to work with people and get them to a point where, what accommodations can we make? What compromises can we make? How can we be flexible to make you feel like you can be safe indoors? I think the best story that we have is we had someone who absolutely would not come into cold weather shelter over the last 2 years because it was in hotels, and that just wasn't his style. He would come when it's a congregate, but not hotels. And so it actually took an impending blizzard that we were having a couple of years ago, and we were very worried about the amount of snowfall and him being outdoors, that he finally came indoors, but we brought him into a house. We had rented an apartment for him for a while. We asked him every night to come see it, but it took the blizzard and the promise of a fried bologna sandwich to finally come indoors, and he never left. So, like, those are the things that we wish to happen, right?
Yeah.
That person was on the street for 27 years and is now, this January, will be hitting 2 years in housing. Without talented volunteers and talented case managers and staff of our service providers being committed and persistent and not taking no for an answer sometimes, to make sure that the people that are the most vulnerable and aren't going to seek services on their own are cared for, stories like that won't happen. And I'm thankful that we live in a community that is a story that is a reality for us.
And I was just thinking, we're lucky to live in a community where there is someone like Micah and someone like just the various volunteers and yourself that have some experience with all of this and understand some of the issues and are able to just to really work with some of these people and just care about them.
Yeah, and I think the hard thing about homeless services is the perception of who we care for. I think the public will always get behind the family with children, will always get behind the people who do well for themselves, the ones who pull themselves up. But I think what's most important about our family is that our service providers are serving the families and individuals who no one else wants to serve.
Yeah.
The ones who usually get left behind. And so we talk a lot, especially about our people who come back and continue to come back to us, and they continue to struggle and they fall again. And should we continue to serve them? But again, no one else will. And so for us, it's what can we do different this time? When we don't place blame on anybody else for having difficulties, just like relapse is a part of substance abuse recovery.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Coming into homelessness sometimes is part of recovery from homelessness. And so we continue to serve folks on a level, I think, with such compassion, both at Micah for our street homeless, for Lois Ann's Hope House, who does, those families with children not easy to serve. We're talking lots of children, lots of difficult backgrounds. It's difficult to get those families out places. And then Empower House, who is doing our domestic violence, which becomes its own risk of lethality and all sorts of things mm-hmm. that they take on by trying to care for folks. So I think like our entire group of organizers are so good at just coming with that culture of compassion and being able to give people exactly what they need when they need it.
Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care Focus. Samantha Shuk is here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.com.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shuk.
The Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, our focus this morning. Samantha Shuk, the Housing and Community Health Director, is in this morning. She's with the George Washington Regional Commission and the Continuum of Care. Earlier this month, on I think it was November 2nd, All Saints Day, was it the first? Anyway, it was early November. Micah did a program at Herkamp Park where they really remembered those that had been involved with Micah and on the streets who had died. It was a pretty emotional and really an eye opening kind of program that just showed you the wide range of people and the fact that and they talked about how when you're homeless it takes years off your life just because of that, the lifestyle you have to live.
Yeah. So this is a program that Micah has done for a number of years. Usually it falls on the winter solstice around December 21st. But I think what that day really is, that's National Memorial Day. And so that really talks about those who died while on the street. And mm-hmm. for Micah, sometimes they become the family that those who move into our housing programs or have experienced homelessness lost. And so they continue to keep up with folks. And so on the first, they remembered 30, I think it ended up being 31 folks. They had someone pass the day of the memorial and added in last minute.
Yeah.
And so they remember both those who died while homeless and those who died in their housing programs and had some connection with MICA. And I think you're right. I think it is very moving. They present each of those names with a brief obituary. Many of them don't have a burial. Many of them actually MICA buries or cremates. And and then they're figuring out how to, you know, do a memorial garden at the church and things like that for them. But it's interesting to hear those stories and hear how they are people, not just people who are homeless. I think for a majority of them, I think there were two or three that had very short connections, right? And the only thing that they knew about them was their homeless episode. But for most of them, homelessness is not even brought up. It's about their hobbies and what people knew them as and the jokes they told and the jobs they held and the things that they did in the community. And I love those because I think what people usually lose sight of is when they see someone on the street is that there are people underneath all of that. That homelessness is just a situation. It's not who they are as a person.
Yeah.
And so I think that memorial really brings that to light for people who don't live our world every day and know that offhand. But again, we were talking about compassion earlier. I think that's what MICA's whole program is about the compassion for giving people dignity to die and be able to do that, but know that they're still surrounded by love and people who care about them and their well-being.
Yeah, no, when they would mention so many people, and it talked about several people had graduated from Spotsylvania High, and they had done this, and they went through all the number of things. Like you say, it does put a life and a face to homelessness that sometimes we look at and we never consider or think about.
Yeah, and I think for me, probably the only person in the crowd thinking this way, it often makes me think that we could do better.
Mm-hmm.
When I started in this role, I went to the first homeless memorial in Fredericksburg, and there's 12 people. And the next year, there was 17. And then the next year, there was 23. And now we're at 31.
Yeah.
And so it gets me thinking about, why are those numbers growing and growing significantly? So the COC has actually been partnering with the University of Mary Washington for the last 2 years to help us understand that. Leslie Martin and her public sociology class have been taking on this project and working with the health department and working with officials in the area to figure out, like, what can we do? Most hospitals have a infant mortality team, right? Like if an infant dies, they want to figure out what happened, how they stop that from happening again. I would love to see that happen for homeless services in our community. And so trying to understand, how do we know who was homeless? How do we track them? How do we understand the data behind it? What was the reasons for their death? I think, not surprisingly, you know, just anecdotally looking at the list and what we know, many of those folks who were on the street died of overdoses. Fentanyl across this country has been having lots of impact for our populations. And so we've now taken some of that anecdotal data and been able to say, okay, so how do we partner better with the community services board to get Narcan out there and get them trained to give it to their friends, right? And not just professionals. That's great that your case manager knows how to provide it, but how does someone in the hotel room when you start to overdose know how to do it? So we're working with the University of Mary Washington to take it from an anecdotal kind of thing to really understand, like, where are the strategies because of how this impacts our community's death rates? It's not just homeless services. It's all deaths, really, but homelessness ends up being the most visible because they're the ones who are most visible on the street to us.
Interesting. I mean, it's great that you are looking into that, because I think you like you say, the numbers keep going up, and you do want to know, is there something we can do, and to look at that and not just brush it aside and say, well, that's too bad, we'll try to do better. Instead, looking at why is it happening, and what can we do to make sure it doesn't keep growing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we know the thing that would probably help the most is we put them in housing. So we're definitely working on permanent housing and making those things happen. But even as Megan's team kind of talked about at the service, even just having a homeless episode shaves years off of your life, whether you go back into housing or not. And so what does that mean for how we strategically provide services once they're in housing or while they're on the street or while we're building rapport and trying to get people to understand services? So I think it's a constant battle of trying to figure out this huge issue that has all of these factors to think about what that looks like as a community.
And with this time of year, and really any time of year, you mentioned there's Mike involved in this, and there's Lois Hands Hope House involved with this, and in Empower House. These are organizations that are always looking for volunteers, are looking for money, and especially this time of year, if you have something that you can financially give them, it's greatly appreciated.
Financial resources are definitely appreciated. Giving Tuesday is actually coming up next week. I know many of our organizations will be posting what ways to give, mm-hmm. and the Continuum of Care will be sharing all of those. So look out for those on our social media and on theirs. They are also always looking for volunteers. So I know Micah just posted with the Cold Weather Shelter. They're looking for folks to just come help them open the Cold Weather Shelter for 2 hours.
They need drivers.
On
Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great opportunity for you to spend, it's 2 hours. Actually, people from the George Washington Regional Commission office did it last Friday to cover up the Friday shift. They came, they were able to check people in, they were able to hang out with them, get to know them. So it gets you to interact with people who you normally probably would have ignored on the street.
Yeah.
And it gives you a seemingly safe and organized, structured place to do that, right? So I think it's a great opportunity for you to actually get to know the people that we're talking about each month. Same thing with the other providers. I think they're always looking for, Lois Hands Hope House does gifts for the children who are in their shelter, and Empower House does too. They're always looking for ways to kind of give back and make sure that even though they don't have their home to be in, how can we make them feel as included in the holidays as possible, even though they're in a temporary home?
And the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, great website, and also a Facebook page that keeps up on this kind of thing. And also just Facebook pages. I know, like a few weeks ago, Lois Hands Hope House, they needed high chairs. And they had that. And there's those kinds of things, if you follow these organizations, when they have some of the kind of needs that come up, you can see and you know, maybe do something right then.
Yep. And I think if you ever have an idea about a drive or anything else that you would like to do, the Continuum of Care has helped folks kind of organize that. We've even collected items on behalf of all of the organizations and then distributed them among them so that you don't have to pick one. You can know that it's being reached across the community for people who need them. Right now, we're actually doing a hygiene drive and backpacks again since we're gearing up for the point in time count. So hygiene items and backpacks for those who are living unsheltered, just to give them some items that can be helpful while they're outside or in our shelters. And we give those out as an incentive for taking our surveys. But there's lots of ways. Yep, the website keeps up to date. There is a Get Involved tab on the website. And so if you click that, there's lots of listings and links to try to get you pointed in a direction where you might feel good making a difference.
Yeah, no, definitely. And how great is that that some members of the George Washington Regional Commission to get out and do something like that for any group. And then that's great. What a great thing for your office to do. But a lot of offices could do that. You talk about a team building kind of thing, and you talk about just an eye opener in the community. That sure would be it.
Yeah, I think for the George Washington Regional Commission, I mean, we've talked a lot about how we live at a 50-foot view. We do planning services. We don't do direct services. The most people in my office get involved with connecting with homeless people is volunteering for the point in time count every year.
Yeah.
And so I think they're really excited to say, oh, there's other ways for me to actually see people and know the impact of the planning that our office does. So they were really excited to go over there and just support one of our providers and get to know the folks that, you know, experience all the planning that we do, to see it in action of what we do at our office to trickle down to people who are actually receiving services.
Yeah.
It's always a cool thing to see.
No, that's a great, that is a great idea, and should give others ideas that this is a way you can get your office, or even just you gather a few of your friends or coworkers together and do that and help out in some kind of way. And like
Absolutely.
You said, it only has to be for just a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're not committing a whole day or so to do that. The Fredericksburg coc.org is the website. That lots of stuff there. And again, the Facebook page really has all kinds of up-to-date information. The homeless helpline, which is kind of different, 358-5801. That's if you're in a situation and you're looking for some help and you don't know where to go, they should be able to direct you.
Yeah, so we run the Homelessness Helpline. It is 24/7, so you can call at any time, 540-358-5801. All the information is also on our website, so if you do forget the number or anything like that, there's a Need Services page and can give you some ideas. But that is staffed with trained assessors. They ask lots of questions about situations mm-hmm. and trying to figure out what's the best resource for these folks. I think we made that number, I guess we're going on 5 years ago now. It really was a way for us to have a centralized place. Most people would call hoping that they called the right place, telling their story 50 times to try mm-hmm. to get what they need. And we really hope that that number is where you tell your story one time and we are so informed about the community that we're able to get you where you need. May not be always what you think you're calling for. We have lots of people who call thinking they need shelter, but once we talk about what shelter looks like or what other options might be, they may end up not needing shelter, and we are able to divert them to other things. But our assessors are so wonderful at doing problem-solving conversations and really trying to get people to the resources that are least restrictive, that will keep them in their housing, even temporarily if they can, but just really good at trying to figure out what in the community is what they need.
540-358-5801 or FredericksburgCoc.org. Samantha Shukas with the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care and the George Washington Regional Commission here this morning. We'll take a break and be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care with Samantha Shukas this morning. She's the Housing and Community Health Director. She's with the George Washington Regional Commission, along with the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. Kind of sad news that Lisa Crittenden with Lois Ann's Hope House. Good news for her, and she is so qualified and has meant so much to this region, but she's going to be leaving Hope House soon. And she was been on this show for years and years and has just been just a lot of information and a lot of fun, and just has a passion for the community.
Yeah, so Lisa was probably one of the first people I met when I came to Fredericksburg Homeless Services. She was already at Hope House. Mm-hmm. And we've worked together for the past 5 years, and I've learned so much from Lisa, in particular about being strong-willed and strong-opinioned and having a voice.
So that's where it came from.
You can attribute that to Lisa. but you know, having that compassion, but also having a way to project it.
Yeah.
In a way that moves people to action, not deters them from it. So I think sometimes, you know, people's passion can be really jarring for folks who don't live this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Lisa has always, you know, nudged me when I get too passionate, and, but also how to be effective. I think she's a wonderful leader, and she has done so much for
yeah.
Hope House. Hope House, when she started, was actually a transitional shelter, meaning that they did a 2-year program. People would come, get ready for housing, and move on. During her time, you know, HUD really stepped away from that model and really pushed people towards an emergency shelter, which is taking a 2-year program down to 90 days. And that's a hard transition for many. And many transitional shelters actually close their doors. But I think with Lisa and her team, you know, they were really able to do it and do it well. They now have a 95% of their folks don't return to homelessness. They have really high rates, I think somewhere around 85%. Of people who leave their shelter go to permanent housing. And that's because of Lisa's leadership and her team over there. So we are very sad to see Lisa go. But I think she's leaving Hope House in a much better position than what she got it.
Yeah.
And they have named Kate Woodward as their interim director. Kate is currently on the Continuum of Care's board and has been working there for the past 4 years. I've known Kate a little bit longer than that. We actually did an AmeriCorps year together. And I think Kate is bright and she is strong, just like Lisa. I think she's also learned a lot from Lisa, and I am excited to see what that looks like and who they name as their permanent person after a search. But very sad, but happy for Lisa and excited for the opportunity for Kate and what that means for Hope House in the future.
Yeah. Now this whole area, I mean, I look at Lisa, I look at you and Megan and Kathy, and I mean, we're really have you all have ideas and have really improved the whole homeless landscape in the last few years. But it was a sad thing because she was just in here recently, and so I will miss having her just because she was just so much energy when she would come in. And she's going to, what I think, to Richmond for a state job,
for a state Medicaid expansion job,
something. I didn't understand.
With United Healthcare, I think.
Yep.
Which is wonderful. I think that means a lot, even for homeless services.
Yeah.
I talked to her, I think it was on Friday, about a grant she was submitting. I'm like, I think we'll figure out if you're awarded in, you know, January or February. I was like, not that it matters, because you won't even be here. And she's like, I'll be screaming and jumping up and down from where I am. And it'll be fine.
She will be too. That is the one thing about Lisa in Lois Ann's Hope House. The point in time count is coming up again. It just seems we talked about this when you did the summer point in time count, and you mentioned we're gonna need our volunteers again, and we'll be doing it. And it just seems so far away.
I know. It's
so cold,
and it's coming. It always feels extra cold on the point in time count.
It always is. There's never a January thaw at the time of the point in time count.
No, I feel like it's the January freeze. But our point in time count always takes place in the end of January, and this year it is scheduled for January 25th. And so on the night of January 25th into all day on the 26th, we will be out and about and surveying. We are still looking for volunteers. The registration to be a volunteer to actually administer surveys is on our website under the Get Involved page. You can see it there. And then we have lots of time slots. So if you're not an early morning person and you want to come at lunch and just meet some of our folks, we have anywhere from 2 to 5 hour slots, whatever works for you. Really, we're taking anybody. The only thing we ask is that you be 18 years or older and be comfortable kind of coming out and talking to folks. We provide a training for all of our volunteers, so you don't have to have previous experience. We give you everything that you need. Each of our teams is equipped with a team lead who are veteran surveyors, so they've done this for many years and kind of take the lead of anything that you might have struggles with. But it's a really great opportunity, I think, for people to see people who are homeless, get to know them. The survey is a really formal way of getting their story, but you do get to hear about their stories and their backgrounds and collect that information. And all of that data is used for us to build better services. We also provide that information to the federal government, which compiles all the country's surveys, because everyone's doing this around the same time. Mm-hmm. And that money, that report of the country's point in time count actually goes to Congress, and they determine the money that goes towards homeless services every year with that information. So really important survey for us every year.
And it for you, you're able, especially now since you did it in the summer, you can you've got more numbers that you're able to, you pour over these numbers, and it's kind of like you really have taken the approach on when we were talking earlier about why are the numbers of the homeless dying more, why are those numbers going up, why are the point in time numbers going up, and you do really look at that and strategize and try to figure out what's going on. So this is important.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people don't realize about any social service that we offer is, yes, we care about people's stories. We care about the heart of it. We care about those kinds of things. But for us, we are really focused on making data-driven decisions. I could see people in front of me. Let's say I'm running a shelter and four people who are pregnant come in. I can say, oh, look, there's a huge rate of people who are pregnant who are now becoming homeless. But when I look at the numbers overall, you'll notice, nope, it was just a fluke week, or it's just the people who were in front of me.
Yeah.
So we don't make big policy changes or system, you know, or design systems based on what we think we see. We really rely on data. And so a big part of our job is running our homeless management information system, which is like our electronic database for people who use homeless services, doing surveys, collecting data, collecting information, and really analyzing that to say, you know, where are our flaws, where are our gaps, where are our strengths, and like, how can we make our system better for those that we're trying to target to serve? But if we don't know who those people are in a very statistical and strategic way, mm-hmm. Then our system will never mirror what they need.
You mentioned a few minutes ago too, are collecting the hygiene and products in backpacks, and we'll pass that out. So if someone wants to get involved and you're looking for, again, another way to get involved, that you want to do something, here's another great way. And if it's the same thing, you drop it off at the GWRC offices in downtown Fredericksburg?
Yep, you can drop it off right at our office. We're usually open 8 to 4:30 every day. You can also email the Fredericksburg Continuum of Care at info@fredericksburgcoc.org. If you can't make it during that time or want to schedule a drop-off or have other questions, there's always someone manning that email. Looking for hygiene products, anything from shampoo, razor, soap, hair brushes, and then hiking backpacks or, you know, waterproof backpacks for people to carry around their items. We'll put all the hygienes in there and then pass them out as incentives for taking the survey and giving us that valuable information about themselves during our count.
I was just going to say this would help give them a better attitude toward wanting to give you some of the information that they need, and it just helps them, and especially when over the winter months, and so it's nice that you're able to do this when you do these counts.
Yeah, we used to provide bus tickets, but now Fred made the amazing choice to go free, so a bus ticket is useless at this point. So we've been doing hygiene bags at the last point in time counts. We did it in the summer, and we did it last January. And we've had really good responses to just how helpful it was to have hygiene items. We've even been able to provide them with socks, which is one of the most requested things, but the least likely to be donated. So we've been able to and socks, and then just having a backpack that's really sturdy and really durable for them to carry their items in has been really helpful for folks. So we're hoping to continue to provide that needed.
And I know people that have done this, and it's kind of like when you talked about just volunteering for some of these things. This is one of those things where you do it, and you don't see things the same after it, because you're seeing where they live in some cases, and that can be pretty jarring to realize.
It can. I think Matt Kelly does a really good job every year of. He's been doing the point in time count for as long as I can remember.
Me too.
And he, you know, takes photos of some of the campsites and shows them in the community. And there's been, you know, tension about whether or not we should be taking photos of campsites and all sorts of things. But I think he's also been really great at recruiting new volunteers, people mm-hmm. who he thinks, like, you need to see this to understand, like, these places are in our backyard. So
literally in some cases of where
you don't know they're
and he never tells where they're at,
right.
you don't know, but with the leaves come off the tree, sometimes you can see in certain areas and you just think, I never would have thought over there or, yeah, you know, there. And it is surprising. And it is surprising in some cases how they put things, the things they use that we just don't have anything in, and they use it very with ingenuity to make a place to live, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think the photos and even the coming to see this and understanding what it is and what it looks like isn't to shame them and mm-mm, isn't to judge them or anything like that, but just to say, like, this is how they live. It's different from how you live, especially when the temperatures are the way that they are.
Yeah.
It isn't safe for them to live this way. But they're also very resourceful and they're creative. I've even seen campsites that have, you know, solar lights that path light their way to, yeah, their path, or have makeshift fireplaces or whatever to keep warm. And so it's about just the reality of what it means to be unsheltered. It's not just someone who's, you know, setting up in the street and laying on their cardboard box. It's different than that. And this is their home, and it's to be respected, but to understand that there are people who have less, and this is sometimes what it looks like.
FredericksburgCoc.org, the website to really be able to follow a lot of this, FredericksburgCoc.org, or you can follow them on Facebook. The Homeless Helpline, 540-358-5801. Samantha Shook is here. We'll take a quick break and wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shook.
Samantha Shook is here this morning with the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, FredericksburgCoc.org. I missed this, but last week was Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Month. Again, your Facebook page, great stuff. And you can always go back and look at that. One of the things that your Facebook page does give, Samantha, a lot of times is really good information on how you can get involved. And I shared it this morning. There was something about just a need at the food bank, of how you can help the food bank. In how you giving them money, they can do a whole lot more. There's that kind of information on the COC website, Fredericksburg COC. So that's kudos to you for that.
Yeah. So I think the thing that some people forget is that the Continual Care is not an organization themselves, but a network of organizations.
Yeah.
And so we're made up of over 60 organizations, and so our person, our program coordinator who oversees our social media, is really great about following the needs of all of our member organizations and trying to promote those. So she actually put together a lot of data, a lot of opportunities to get involved during Homeless and Hunger Awareness Week last week. So you can go back and look at those. Those will continue to come out. I know earlier in the month with Veterans Day, they posted data about the veterans that we serve mm-hmm. throughout the day. We always try to figure out how to share as much data that we collect lots of data. So how do we share that with the public?
Yeah.
People are always keeping us in the know about their events. How do we share those with the public? So we have lots of ways, not just our Facebook page and our website. We also have a monthly newsletter that comes out that has lots of community events in it that you could always sign up for. So there's lots of ways to kind of stay informed. And sometimes Continuum Care is the best way to do it rather than following 60 pages. You can follow the Continuum Care and we can help with distributing information.
Yep. And that's what I'll a lot of times see things on your page that I missed on some of the others, just because you don't always go there every day. So that's a good thing. A couple of things we've talked about. The cold weather shelter is in operation. There are some needs. And if you check out either, like we say, the Continuum of Care site, or also Micah has identified some needs, and there are number of ways just to volunteer and get involved with the cold weather shelter.
Volunteer with the cold weather shelter. Probably the best person to reach out to, I think they put this in their post, is Jill Claire. You can reach her at jill@dolovewalk.net, and she'll be able to get you what you need. But they are looking for drivers and some folks to kind of open up the cold weather shelter each week. So that's a great place to go. And then we are still looking for volunteers for the point in time count. So if you would like to do that. And then just some of the hygiene packs and things that we're collecting. So lots of ways to get involved and kind of share some holiday cheer with the homeless service providers.
Yeah. And like we said, if you're able to check out some of these, whether, you know, some of these different groups that do it in the area, see what they need. And if you're able to financially help them out, do that. And Giving Tuesday will be next week, and there'll be all kinds of things this week and into early next week promoting that. And Giving Tuesday is a great way, especially if you've just indulged for yourself over things this weekend. Think about so many of these organizations next Tuesday.
Yeah, Giving Tuesday is a big day for a lot of our organizations, especially with how small they are. They're trying to come to the end of their budgets and really, you know, jump off with a big fundraiser, and Giving Tuesday is a great way for them to do this. So there will be lots of promotions coming out of the Continuum of Care Facebook pages and sharing those around the area. I know lots of them will be asking for help, and that's a great way to get involved. This is more flexible than items sometimes, and that's what they need, just to get that last creative kind of thing that they need.
And I don't know if they still are. I think Micah was trying to collect a whole bunch of pies for – there was like a – I was like over 150 pies.
Pies. I know they're also collecting Christmas wallets filled with gift cards for folks to hand out. And then we actually – our office does a welcome home basket every year. So we're actually making 5 welcome home baskets for people who are moving into housing and just need your basic necessities. So that's a great way to do it. Lots of options across the continuum.
Well, Samantha, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving week. And thank you for so much information, so many things going on. And it continues. Thank you again for what you provide the community. Fredericksburg, coc.org, or info at fredericksburgcoc.org if you want to ask some questions and get involved. And again, the homeless information line is 540-358-5801. That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.